Cumpleaños feliz, te gozamos a ti. Cumpleaños feliz, te deseamos a ti.
The best.
Your first birthday in Peru.
I know, my first ever in Peru. Maybe I'll have another one in Peru.
Oh, maybe.
And welcome back to MZTV, and once again we have the good fortune of having Mr. Waylon Dabbs with us here, and we've been talking so much, having such a good time with Regina and Maria. We had to have a little of the distilled grain beverage.
Cheers.
For the voice only. Right, Waylon? It's just for the voice, to soothe the voice.
Of course.
That's the only
of
reason.
Of course, that's the only reason.
Mm-hmm. And so we've established that. Don't listen to this man. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. This is Martin Zenner again, and that's Waylon Dabbs over there.
Yep.
And we're finally going to do what I've been talking about for a long time, and that is we're going to deal with some objections by a Catholic gentleman. Based on his objections, he must be a Catholic gentleman. He's responding to a show I made last week. I think it was last week. Maybe it was this week, called Guilt-Free Living Without a Single Behavioral Adjustment. And that is such a shocking title, because Christianity is founded on changing your behavior. And the only way you can be saved is to change your behavior.
That's right. I mean, their goal is to clean the fish before they get it in the boat.
Clean the fish before they get it in the boat.
You just can't do that.
That must be a North Carolina
example. And a fish doesn't clean itself.
In Ohio, that's true. In Ohio, we would say clean the house before the maid comes. Not that I ever had a maid growing up, never. But it's this idea of, well, Jesus accepts you as you are, except he doesn't.
But he does.
Well, he actually does.
And the only way he'll accept you is as you are.
And yet, but that's false advertising.
That is false.
That's false advertising. Christ accepts you as you are, but then here's all the adjustments you have to make before he accepts you. So it's all window dressing. It's all false advertising. It's all just a heavy coat of whitewash.
Here's a thought.
Give it to me.
He made you like you are. You are who he wants you to be at every moment, at every given day.
Wow, that's some heavy truth. But I agree with you.
It's true.
And it also reminds me of another book I wrote. Remember, on Friday, I used the example of God doesn't dwell in temples to promote a book. Well, I also wrote a book called Flawed by Design.
There, my favorite book.
Exactly what my brother was saying, that God made each of us how we are. And to this objector that I'm about to read his comments, these are public comments. This is a brave man. We're not adversely judging him.
No.
God made him the way he is, too.
That's exactly right.
And he sounds like a Catholic. I mean, he doesn't state that he's a Catholic, but we're going to see that he believes in purgatory. Or as Curly from the Three Stooges would say, oh, purgatory.
Purgatory.
You kind of look like Curly with the hair. You have Curly's hair. Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so let me read the first. I did comment on this comment, but I want to hear your take on this.
Okay.
And the topic of the show was that when Paul talks about us having died with Christ, in Colossians 3:3, you died with Christ. Galatians 2:20, with Christ have I been crucified. Romans 6:7, he who dies has been justified from sin. Paul speaks of our old humanity as having been crucified. So in a sense, This is not literal death, but in a sense, we died because our old humanity died.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. Colin Wablinski, the commenter, and I've never met this person. I don't know who it is except his name. He totally disagrees with the entire premise that God could possibly save anyone apart from their behavior. I mean, he objects to everything. And if you remember, I showed you the show. We watched it together.
Yes, we did.
At the beginning, I made a big deal about the Mary statue here in Fort Lauderdale.
That's true. I saw.
I mean, no, we're not in Fort Lauderdale. Where are we?
You're in Peru.
Okay, Lima, Peru. Yes, they fixed up. Sorry, they fixed up Mary's statue. I think they did paint the actual statue,
They
also fixed up her shrine. She has a beautiful shrine, and I was poking a little fun. I said at the time, and I don't regret it, I will say it again, when I was on the site of the shrine, I said on the camera, and I played it for everybody here, I said, I'm the only person here who knows that Mary is dead. Ooh, ooh. Colin did not like that.
He didn't like that?
This is what he said. Okay, first he talks about death, and I'm going to quote him. He says, of course, sin has power over the dead. We need to explain. Our belief,
yes,
is that Paul is saying that those who have died, those who are dead, sin has no power over them. And so with the old humanity crucified, that's why sin can have no more power over us.
That's true.
And now there's no more condemnation. Okay. Colin says, of course sin has power over the dead. Those sins prolong one's heretofore temporary punishment into eternal punishment. This is the cath. I know. This is insane. Death is bad enough, but this is the Catholic teaching that the dead are not really dead. The dead are in some halfway house known as purgatory, and their sins are still vexing them. It's bad enough our sins vex us in this life, according to Colin. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Based on his comment.
Yeah.
Okay, he said sins prolong our temporary punishment.
Those sins prolong one's heretofore temporary punishment into eternal punishment.
Before I move into the eternal punishment.
Yes, you at some point move into eternal punishment.
So if I sin more.
If you sin more.
Then my temporary punishment is longer. Sign me up.
Yeah, maybe if you sin more, it delays the beginning of your eternal punishment.
Let's get it on, baby.
Yeah, there's so many things wrong with this comment. Of course,
I'm being sarcastic.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. But that's what happens. You get some crazy results if you think this through of sin having power over the dead. I mean, how terrible it is to lose a loved one.
Oh.
I mean, it's terrible. But the one mercy is that death removes the consciousness. And we teach this. Wayland believes this. I believe it. Almost everyone watching the show believes that the dead are dead. There is no consciousness in death. And the reason death is a mercy is because humans are delivered from the worry, the concern. They were delivered from their sins.
Right. Death only hurts the living.
Well said. Listen to this comment our fellow believer named Taylor Wolfman said. She says, sin does not, and she's commenting on Colin's comment. Sin does not have power over the dead. Paul states this explicitly. The one who dies has been justified from sin. And we died figuratively because our old humanity was crucified with Christ. The reference here is Romans 6, 7. I love this. She says, death ends sin's jurisdiction.
Amen.
And that's what the death of the old humanity is about. Let's go to that. That's such an outrageous comment. I want to go to I was going to say this one's less outrageous, but it's not. But this is Colin's rejection of the teaching that we could be saved without modifying our behavior. I mean, that's a shocking teaching.
It is a shocking teaching.
And we're the only ones I know of that teach it. I mean, as far as those who understand what the death of Christ meant, those who understand justification. This is what he says. Not modifying one's behavior, not feeling guilt for the sins one has committed. That is arrogant, hard-hearted, unrepentant blasphemy. And it is disgusting that MZ, that's me, is advocating that sinfulness. There will surely be no forgiveness for Zender's hatchet job against our Blessed Lady unless he repents of his sacrilege. What could possibly motivate him to be so hard-heartedly irreverent of the only being, i.e. Mary, found worthy to be the mother of her and our Savior? Do you want to start on that comment? Do you want to start? Go ahead.
Two things. Well, three. Okay. One, no disrespect to Mary. Blessed is her among women.
Yes.
Okay, she was chosen.
Yes.
Okay, to bear our Savior. And she deserves high respect and high praise. Okay, but, maybe he doesn't know that she had children after Jesus. And I'm almost pretty positive that that wasn't a virgin birth.
No, only Jesus was the virgin.
Right.
So Jesus said had brothers.
Right. So for them to call her the Virgin Mary at this point is just not true.
Yeah.
And two, he talks about guilt. The only thing I feel guilty about, is not feeling guilty about anything.
Oh, I like that.
If I'm justified, I'm declared righteous.
Yes.
With God, I am righteous. And that is the peace that comes through understanding this truth.
And you're insulting Christ by feeling guilty about your sins.
Nope. That's why he came.
That's why, you can't
feel guilty. He came to set us free from that.
Free. Free.
Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Right.
So why would I bear the sin that he took away on my shoulders?
Such a simple question from such a simple man.
The simple truth.
Baby. And it's the simple truth. I've said this over and over again. These Christians, including this gentleman, act like Christ didn't do anything. Or they act like God didn't do anything about the problem. They're always still bringing up sin as the problem, And again, for freedom, Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ frees you.
Yes.
And what freedom is there if you're carrying the guilt and the burden of your sins upon you? But again, because of the Catholic upbringing, you're told that you just need to constantly feel guilty, feel terrible, feel bad. And what does that do, though, for the Catholic Church? It keeps you crawling to them.
Keeps you crawling to them.
And who do you get forgiveness from? In the Catholic Church.
The priest.
There you go, the priest.
Can I tell a story?
Tell a story. A
little off topic here. Let me tell a story.
All right, go for it.
I was talking to one of my Baptist preacher friends. And he said, if I didn't believe there was eternal punishment for sin, okay, I would be out cheating on my wife. I'd be out getting drunk every day. I'd be out doing whatever I want to do. And I'm like, really? So hell is what, he goes, yes, hell is why I don't do that. I'm like, so much for your love for God.
That's it.
Okay. It's a fear. We're not advocating a life of sin.
No.
What we are advocating is a life free of sin. Free of its guilt. Free of its condemnation. Because at the end of the day, we're all going to sin. Rather you lie or you cheat, whatever. I think it was James or Peter said, if you offend one point of the law, you offended all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say, are we going to make a checklist? Okay. So I lied here. If you offend in one point, regardless of its severity, you're guilty of it all.
So, yeah. And that's assuming you do every other point correctly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus gave us the freedom of the guilt of sin. We're not advocating a sinful life. No. We're just advocating the freedom of its penalty and its guilt. Am I right?
Yes. And the power of that.
The power of that.
That message, what you just said, has power.
It does.
When you tell it to people.
Yes. It brings freedom because people can't help but sin.
Yeah.
We are sinning machines. We're in this meat sack.
Yeah.
That loves sin.
Yeah.
Whether it's a foolish thought or this.
Well, that's not sin.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
not I'm sorry.
A foolish thought, that is sin.
But you get my point.
Yes, we get your point for sure.
Okay. we're advocating the freedom of it, the freedom of the guilt of it.
Right.
We're not advocating a sinful life.
But we're accused of that.
We are.
And they we're in good company because they accused Paul.
That's true.
The same thing. Unless you are teaching this message, you will never be accused of that.
They accused Jesus of it. They called Jesus a wine bibber as if it was a sin.
Why did they call him a wine bibber?
Because he drank wine.
Yes.
And cheers.
Because he drank wine. And he hung around. Cheers. And Jesus Christ fellowshipped with some unsavory people.
He did.
He fellowshipped with the lowlifes of the community and with prostitutes. And one of his followers was quite an unsavory woman who was demon-possessed. And so the thing is, when you say we don't advocate sin, the message we are advocating, freedom from the guilt, that message has power.
It does.
But you would never know it unless you hear it. But it's such a daring message. And no preacher or no priest ever gets the objection. Well, you're encouraging people to sin. We get that all the time. But the reason we get the objection is because we're teaching this message that we're free from it.
We're free from it.
But it's an instinct. Like Collins instinctively said, you guys are going to cause people to sin more.
What we are advocating is if you do sin, God's got that.
God's got that.
That was covered at Calvary. You're going to do nothing but sin. The problem with Christianity, they want to classify sins. Okay, this sin over here is worse than my sin. Okay, so if you're committing my sin, it's okay. If you commit this over here,
right,
you're no good.
Right.
The point is sin is sin.
Right.
And we are free from the guilt of it.
Because of the crucifixion of Jesus
Christ. Because of Christ.
Because of the agony he suffered for 6 hours on the cross, the scourging, the humiliation, the crown of thorns, all of that horror. And the 6 hours hanging on the cross took away sin.
He took it away.
He wants us to feel free. He wants us to feel free.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Imagine this.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Jesus said it's finished on the cross.
It is finished, yes.
What if he actually meant that?
That's what I believe.
What if that was actually true?
And what if Paul said that you are now complete in Christ based on it is finished?
Seriously?
Colossians, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Colossians chapter 2.
I feel so much better now.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. You are complete in Christ. That is based on Jesus saying it is finished.
It's finished.
That's based on that truth.
That, exactly right.
Complementary truths.
And think about this.
Yeah.
Everything we're saying gives glory to Christ and nothing to us.
It takes it away from us. Right. Because we're not advocating our own behavior.
No. I mean, we can't trust our own behavior. No. We can't.
No, we can't trust it.
We can't trust it. But we can trust Christ because it's his faith.
Yes.
That justifies us.
We're saved by his faith. I read a great quote in the Concordant Commentary by A.E. Nock. He said, the reason people rebelled against the law, he used the Apostle Paul's example in Romans chapter 7.
Right.
Paul said, I did not think about coveting until
the law said you shouldn't covet.
Don't covet. Whatever you do, don't covet.
I want that.
The example I always use is if there was a little knot hole in a fence,
yeah,
and there was a sign above the hole that said, do not look through this hole.
I'd be like,
everybody would look through the hole. That's but if right. The sign wasn't there, Waylon, if the sign wasn't there,
yeah, nobody would care.
Would you think?
I would.
No, you would just walk past it. And this was the purpose of the law. So A.E. Nock said that the law's threats did not rein in sin. In fact, we know from Romans chapter 5, verse 20, law came so the offenses should increase.
Well, that's right. People think the law was meant to make people purified or holy,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Negative. It was made so that people would sin more or at least bring consciousness to that sin.
Because people are, at the bottom line, people are pissed off that this invisible God will try to tell me what to do. It's like people rebel against thou shalt not. They rebel against
that. That's true.
It's human nature. Like you were talking about human nature just a little while ago about how we are. And Paul, if anyone could have beat human nature, it would have been Saul the Pharisee. And yet he's the one who said, the thing I want to do, I can't do. The thing I don't want to do, that I do. And it's because the law, sin got an incentive, actually. Sin came alive because of the precept, thou shalt not. Okay, That's the law half of it.
Yep.
Now grace.
Grace.
Grace says this. This law says you better do this or else. That's law. This is what grace says. Grace says no matter what you do, you cannot come into my disfavor. That's what God is saying.
Oh my God.
No matter what you do, my opinion of you cannot change because I look at you as I look at my son. And there's nothing you can do. And oh my God, Waylon, if you actually believe that, it makes you want to not offend. It makes you want to serve
yes.
a God who is that gracious.
Yes.
It's powerful, man.
And here, if you believe that, here comes peace.
Yeah.
Peace with God. Peace with yourself.
And
that's why this is here.
Not only peace, but an actual reigning in.
Yeah.
Of the flesh. People say that if you guys believe this, oh, if you it's a dangerous message. Grace is a dangerous message. I've been told that. You can't tell the grace message to everybody. If you tell it to this guy over here, oh, he's going to go crazy. And yet, here we are. I mean, not to brag about us, Waylon.
No, but here no we're I'm a piece a couple, of dirt.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, that's your opinion. But actually, can I be honest about us?
Of course.
You're a responsible husband. You're a responsible father. You retired from a job after working there for how many years?
29 years.
29 years. You're an upstanding citizen. You're not a criminal. We have not, and I can say the same thing of myself. If this so-called freedom we have produces all kinds of sin, if not feeling guilty produces criminals, then me and you should be in jail right now.
But that goes back to what I said that my old preacher said. If I didn't believe in this, I'd be cheating on my wife. I'd be doing all this sin. That's because you don't understand the grace and love of God.
Right. That's exactly right.
Without the threat of hell,
that's the law mentality.
They have nothing.
That is the law mentality.
They have nothing.
That guy proved that he is under the law mentality.
Right. He doesn't understand grace.
No.
He doesn't understand what Christ accomplished on Calvary. And better yet, he doesn't understand why he tries to serve God.
He doesn't even know, does he?
He doesn't even know.
Wow. Wow. That's just proof that he doesn't understand.
He doesn't understand.
It's the law mentality. It's the sword of Damocles hanging over your head. It's the threat of condemnation. And this is what Christians use to so-called keep people in line, the threat of condemnation. But it doesn't freaking work.
Well, there's look therefore no condemnation.
Yeah, but look at the Christians. Are they leading good lives? I mean, there's so many of so-called secret sins, right, that the Christians do. I have heard that when there's a Christian conference, all the pastors at the conference are renting all the X-rated movies and everything because these people go crazy when they think God's not looking or something because they're living under this condemnation. It's Romans 7.
Yeah.
It's Romans 7. But the thing is, when we're...
Things I want to do.
Here's the thing.
Nah, I don't do that.
When we're free, when we're free to look at X-rated movies.
Right.
Then it's like you don't feel the pull.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad, when I was a kid, my dad said, hey, Martin, you want to have a sip of beer? And I would sip the beer. And I was like, oh, that tastes terrible. My dad and mom drank socially. And they didn't make alcohol this, thou shalt not drink alcohol. They didn't make it an evil, perverted
right.
thing. They made it like this is part of the human experience. God gave us this. And we and our friends drink it responsibly. And here, kid, you're 8 years old. Have a sip of beer. And because of that, I think, honestly, because of that, I never became an alcoholic.
Well, I was the same with our kids. I'm like, listen, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. I raise boys. Okay.
Me too.
Boys get into stuff.
Yes, they do.
And I'm like, sons, if you're going to get into stuff, get in it here. And I'll take care of you. And they never desired to go anywhere else and get into stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just did it at home.
It's because you didn't put that thou shalt not over their heads.
Because they were in their father's house.
They were in their father's
house. We live in our father's house.
That's a good analogy.
It's 24/7.
That's a great analogy.
God's like, I got you.
Because they knew that you loved them.
That's right. I got you, son. You get drunk here, I'll take care of you. You get high here, I'll take care of you. No different than we are now. And I know my Father has me.
And something told me that, something tells me that you're not going to eternally torment them.
I didn't threaten to put them in fire one time.
You didn't threaten eternal fire.
Nope.
Wow.
Not one time.
Wow, that's amazing. And yet the Christian religion and Colin's God threatens eternal torment. And the Apostle Paul, as Saul the Pharisee, shows us the result, the practical result of being one who follows law. He was a murderer.
Yeah.
He was a killer. This is what the law produces. And this is what the Catholic Church, they're condemnatory people. Their history is horrible. The Inquisition, the self-righteousness, the death, the murder that follows from people who have this self-righteousness based on law behavior. And yet you look at people like you and me and others, everybody watching our show, who believe in grace. And I will put our lives, not that we're perfect, but I will,
not,
put,
not
I
at
will
all.
Put our lives.
Not at all.
Well, I'm closer than you are. But
well, of course you are.
I would put our lives up against the lives of these religious people. It's like, you people want to have a sin contest? You want to have a sin contest? I'll put people who are behaving only because of the threats.
A threat.
I'll put their lives up against people who know that God loves them no matter what. And I guarantee to you that if you want to put it, have a sin contest, we're less offensive to God than they are.
Pastor, well, let me challenge the people that are looking at us. Okay, you're watching this program. I would bet you're probably Bible believers, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, everybody.
They believe what the Bible says.
Yeah, everybody okay? does. Yeah.
So you're looking at yourself and maybe you're feeling guilty about something you're done and, oh, I'm a sinner and God hates me or whatever. If you believe the Bible, didn't Paul say he was the greatest sinner?
The chief of the sinners.
Chief of sinners.
Yeah. First Timothy.
You're doing better than he did.
Yeah.
If you believe the Bible,
right,
wherever you're at, you're doing better than he did. Am I wrong?
Yes. And why was he the chief of the sinners?
Because he was the chief of the sinners.
But the reason he was is because he was under a program of law.
That's right.
And who else was under the program of law?
Well, he was obviously talking about his Pharisee time all of that.
Yes,
he was trying to give us something to stand on. I understand where you're going with that.
Right.
But he was trying to compare his sinful life is probably worse than yours.
And so he didn't have to clean himself up before Christ apprehended
him. No, he didn't even try.
He didn't even try. No, he didn't even try.
He didn't even try.
Yeah.
He just like, who's going to deliver from that? The concordant version? Grace.
What shall deliver me from this body of death?
Right. That what I want to do, I don't.
Yeah.
That I don't want to do. Hell, I do that shit every day.
Yeah. And the Pharisees are another great example of people who were so stuck up on law that they killed their Messiah. I mean, that's what it produces. It's no coincidence that people who are stuck on the law, who are stuck on this do this or else, turn or burn, thou shall not, it produces murderous, self-righteous, hateful people.
That's right. It does.
And yet this message of grace, this message of freedom, coming full circle here, talking about no guilt, feeling no guilt, while it seems to the human that such a message is dangerous, it's going to produce a bunch of sinners. And like I've talked to people like you're talking about too. They say, oh, if I believed your message of grace, I would do this and this and this and this and this. And they don't realize the power. Paul says concerning the message of grace in Romans chapter 1, grace has power.
They absolutely don't understand.
This message that we're telling you of freedom, it's not nothing. It has power to keep you in a good place, not only of not feeling guilty, but actually in a place of your flesh, actually walking better.
Well, their lives that they live are based on fear.
Yes, based on fear.
And not love.
And they're not nice people.
And they're not nice people.
I'm sorry, but the Christians who believe in eternal torment, they're not nice people. On the outside, they're nice.
At the end of the day, you burn it down, that's true. They're not.
They're not nice people. Yeah, they condemn us. How could you be nice if you condemn most of the human race to hell?
But that's true. But I'm trying to think about the people that say, if there was no hell, I would go out and commit all these sins.
Yeah.
Okay? their life is based off fear.
Totally.
Not love.
Totally.
Not understanding of the truth. Okay? And that's just a simple truth.
Bad motivation. Fear is a bad motivator.
It is.
It may work for 5 minutes or 5 weeks. Maybe 5 years, but it's an artificial construct. It's a construct.
It's no good.
It's no good, and it will produce self-righteousness. And
it'll produce sadness.
And we'll end this way. Self-righteousness is sadness, and people don't see self-righteousness as the sin that it is. In fact, self-righteousness is the worst.
Self-righteousness is the worst.
It is the worst of the sins. Worse than adultery, worse than somebody getting drunk every day. It's worse than murder. Self-righteousness is the one sin, actually, that keeps people from understanding the saving work of grace.
I agree.
And Paul says that very thing, you know, because of their self-righteousness, his fellow Israelites did not have a knowledge of God because of the self-righteousness, because of their opinion of themselves. What did Jesus say? The person that says, beat his breast, said, oh, I'm a sinner. And that person went home justified. And yet the one who said, I have no need of anything. I'm a perfect person. You know, when you have that opinion of yourself, and these people do.
They do.
Then grace can't help them at that point.
That's true.
Well, Paul says, makes a crazy statement when he says you fall out of grace in Galatians 5, I think it is. How can you fall out of grace? The irony is, and we'll end with this, is that you don't fall out of grace by sinning. Sinning invites more grace. Where sin increases, grace superabounds.
Super exceeds.
Romans 5:20. How then you fall out of grace? You fall out of grace by trying to justify yourself in flesh, by living the life of the guy Whelan's talking about, where you only behave, not because you love God, not because God has been gracious to you, but because of threats, because of fear. And that is the one area that really grace, for now, for the eons, doesn't touch. It's so ironic that sinning, as the Christians measure sin, just brings more grace. But the sin of self-righteousness, where you don't need grace. I don't need grace. That's what they say.
And you fall out of grace.
By thinking you don't need grace.
By not trusting grace.
By not trusting grace. That is true. You fall out of grace by not trusting grace. Write that one down if you have a notebook handy, or if you have a pen. That was a good one, and that's a high note to end on. So, unfortunately, Waylon and Regina are heading back to the United States, but so am I. But you folks have made such nice comments over the last couple of days about our little get-togethers here that maybe Waylon and I will be making more recordings together in the future.
If I'm lucky.
Well, yeah. I'm going to evaluate him a little more. I'm going to put him through a few more tests. And if he passes them, then he's back. Mm. He's back on MCTV. In the meantime, look for a resurrection. Talk about resurrection. Look for a resurrection of the simple truth.
The simple truth is coming.
And the simple truth is coming from a simple man.
So I'm a simple. I am a simple man, that's for sure.
He is a simple man.
Good show,
and
brother.
We love him for it. Good show. Cheers.